First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shukr. So much we should be grateful that we cannot choose the words on our tongue to be grateful to Allah. Allah ta'ala's grace, Allah's mercy. And this is a very great month, the month of Rajab that Allah ta'ala has given to us, which isn't just a month, but it is good news for every believer, for every mu'min, that very close and very soon a great month is about to arrive. And this month informs every mu'min that you should now get ready, prepare for that month, and get ready and become alert. And don't waste that month, because that month is a special rahmah, mercy, and a special month that Allah Ta'ala has gifted to the mu'min. So that month itself, due to this message, due to the nearness to Ramadan, this month of Rajab, a lot has a lot of virtues this month. And this is Allah's grace, that this is the first night of Jummah of this month. For such bone idle people like us, Allah Ta'ala has given us the ability to start this month with dhikrullah. The rewards of this month, the rewards that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed, gifted in this special time and moment, a human being is unable to count. You'd lose count. So due to this gathering, this is a gathering of dhikr, there's no other objective of this majlis, that we have gathered and assembled and sat down and we're remembering Allah. Because dhikr, remembrance of Allah, in the Quran Allah Ta'ala has said, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, that my dhikr is the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing in all ways of thinking to remember Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq ability at this moment. We're sat down in the form of an assembly, and alhamdulillah we are sat to remember Allah. And apart from this, there's no other objective. My objective is not to give a speech, not to deliver hadith to you, or to give tafsir. These are just a few words that I share with you that I've heard from our pious elders, so that with dhikr we can understand why dhikr is necessary, why should we do dhikr, what is the importance of dhikr. We are living in the age of negligence, laziness, and as we get closer to Qiyamah, fitnas increase, corruption increases, the good deeds are going into hiding, bid'at, dhulamat are increasing, wrong actions are gaining strength, shaitan focuses our attention towards those, and the real rewards, the real actions that Allah Ta'ala has given to us for the sake of Akhirah, they are going and hiding behind the veil, the curtains, and the importance of those actions are being diminished in our hearts and being eliminated. This is a sign of Qiyamah. Will also be this, that there will be a dearth of good people, a dearth, a drought of real men. The good people, the pious people, will be behind the veil, hidden. In other words, Allah Ta'ala will remove them. And one pious person being removed, darkness will come into that generation. That due to the pious people, a good person, even if he sat in a town, a city, due to his barakat, the whole city gains benefit and virtues, faith. So, kahatul rijal, the death of pious people, good people, real men, for good people to disappear, good deeds to disappear, and bid'at, innovation, wrong actions, sins, traditions, cultures to increase, these are all the signs of Qiyam. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, Allah's remembrance from amongst all of those things is such a great action that today we see that kathir people, most people have no idea about dhikr. Most people have no understanding of the importance of dhikr. Such a great reward Allah has mentioned in the Quran. So many places in the Quran Allah has mentioned and described his dhikr. What can there be greater than this? That I cannot remember the name of this pious elder. He was asked that from the fadail of dhikr, what is one fadila, one virtue of dhikr? He said, can there be a greater, from the fadail of dhikr, can there be a greater fadail than this? That Allah says, fadhkuruni adhkurkum. That when you remember me, I remember you. Subhanallah, can there be a greater reward than this for dhikr? And how does Allah remember you? In the hadith it stated that when a human being, his lips, when they move and utter Allah's remembrance, that Allah Ta'ala, along with those lips, comes close to that human being. Allah pays special attention to that specific human being. Special mercies come on that human being. Tell me what a great fazilat virtue of dhikr for the human being. And this is the hal of the lips. Then if the heart is remembering Allah all the time, then tell me that due to this Quran, and what the Quran is saying, as long as a person remembers Allah in his heart, Allah remembers his servant. Allah remembers him by name. And Allah, with his rahmah, with his mercy, bestows that person with gifts, treasures, sakina, and guidance, and taqwa, strength of iman. So success, real success for us, is the success of the hereafter. And that starts from death, the time of death for the human being. Starts from the time of death, that he is successful or is he a failure. At that time the result is determined when he's lowered into the grave. So Allah Ta'ala has said the real success for a human being, Allah has given us the basis for that in the Quran. A standard, a sign you could say, criteria for success. That to attain real success, what is the method, what is the criteria, what are the steps, what are the points? So what is success? When you die, your qabr is full of light. The plane of resurrection should be easy. The day of judgment should be easy. The bridge, crossing the bridge of Sirat should be easy. The task, the challenges on the day of judgment should become easy. And alhamdulillah, we save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam and we arrive into paradise. This is success for the human being. And to attain this success for a human being, the Quran explains there is one tariqah, one method due to which a person can get all of these successes. And what is that? What is that? Mujahida. Striving, making effort. وَجَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah says that when you try and make effort and you really work hard and embrace the challenge, Allah Ta'ala says at that time, not one path for you. Allah says, I will open up the paths of hidayah for you, the paths of guidance for you. Allah Ta'ala says, when you make effort. The Quran is saying this. This is what Allah Ta'ala is saying. Nothing's hidden by Allah Ta'ala. Nothing's hidden. Allah says that if you want to attain my qurb, my nearness, my love, there's only one way you can do that. You can attain the success in the phases of the akhirah. You can attain paradise. And what is that tariqah, that method? Allah says, you have to work hard. You have to do mujahada. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا. Work hard. Without working hard, you cannot attain success. You cannot be successful. You've been sent to the world. Allah says, you have to do mujahada in the world. وَجَهَدُوا. وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَ لَنَهَدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبَلَنَا. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَأْمَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah says, in the grave, don't worry. You do mujahada. Allah says, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. When you do mujahida, wherever you're stuck, Allah says, I will be with you, for Allah is indeed with the doers of good. Allah says, I'll stand with you. I'll support you. So the first point we need to understand is that how do we attain success? From mujahida. Working hard, striving, making effort. What is mujahida? Working hard, trying. Just stopping there and trying to make proper effort, to stand firm, to stand upright. When the challenge is there, you stand firm. So what is mujahida physically, practically? Allah Ta'ala explained to us that who do we oppose or who do we clash with? Yes? What is the tussle, the clash with? So Allah Ta'ala defines that, explains that. Allah says that my biggest enemy, you have to fight with that enemy. Allah Ta'ala says, you have to clash with that enemy. A tussle. How? Allah says, my enemy, you also have to be enemy with my enemy, Allah says. You have to adopt that enmity and clash against that person, that entity. Allah says, don't shake his hands, don't be friends with him. And don't embrace him. And anything of his, don't listen. Because you have to, if he's my enemy, Allah says, then you have to consider him as your enemy. You have to do mujahida with him, you have to oppose him, you have to clash with him. So who is that, Allah? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. Allah says in the Quran clearly that the biggest enemy is the nafs, your desires, and nafs, your base desires. Do you understand this point? Allah says, the biggest enemy of yours is your nafs that sat inside you. Within you, the work of the nafs, the work of this enemy is that your nafs, he will make you challenge me, Allah says. Your nafs will make you enemy with me. Oppose me, what I say. All the ahkams I give to you, the orders, the nafs will take you opposite to my orders. Your nafs. Yes. So what do we have to do? We have to fight. And who do we fight against? Who do we oppose? Who do we work hard against? What is that thing? A nafs, the base desires, the carnal desires. Nafs, if you fight your nafs, then you'll attain success. Allah says, then I will open up the paths of success for you. You have to oppose, clash, go against the nafs. And how long do you fight the nafs for? Until maut, your nafs is with you. At that time when your ruh is being extracted, then nafs will leave you. Otherwise, every blink, every second, he will be with you. He'll change the ways. You have to be alert against the cunning tricks of the nafs. That's how cunning an enemy the nafs is. The people who adopt the path and understand this message and become firm, he is our vowed enemy, the nafs. He is the enemy of Allah, the nafs within us. And then they grab hold of that method, I'll keep him as my enemy ongoing. Who are those people? Those same people are called Sufis, the Honorable Sufiya Ikram. They are the people who understood the challenge, the game of life. Achha, it's the nafs that Allah Ta'ala is mentioning, that if you fight the nafs, then I'll show you the phases of success. Then I'll give you my Muhammad, my love. Then you'll attain my Qurb. Allah says, without opposing nafs, a human being cannot attain success. He cannot. Now, what do we think is mujahada? Listen to this point. What do we think is mujahada? We think mujahada, striving, is to pray immense number of nawafil salah, immense number of ibadat, worship. We think that this is mujahada, excess worship. This is also a cunning trick of shaitan. Remember this. Shaitan. When a person thinks, oh, I've been told to do mujahada, make effort, try. Okay, I'll do mujahada. What does the human being do? He starts praying nawafil salah, tahajjud, nawafil, and voluntary actions, and nafal umrah, nafal hajj, and nafal sadaqat. And he says, I'm doing mujahada, I'm working hard, I'm making effort, I'm doing big mujahada, I'm getting close to Allah. This is another deception, let me tell you in passing. That kasrat, excess nawafil ibadah, is a good thing, but this is the initial step for a person. This is the beginning. This is not mujahida though, that where you are fighting against your nafs. The real mujahida is not this. The real working hard is not this. Listen to this point. That for example, I start doing ibadat, I'm praying nawafil, and I'm doing extra voluntary actions. I'm thinking I'm doing mujahida, working hard. This is not mujahida. What's the reason for this? Because this cannot become mujahida, doing excess worship. Why? Because when a person prays nawafil, does ibadat, and lot of worship, then that becomes his habit. That becomes his habit. For example, you start keeping fast. It will become your habit. Ramadan's coming, alhamdulillah. What happens in Ramadan? First few fasts look severe, hard. Taraweeh is difficult. But after a few days, when you get to the final portion of Ramadan, the 30th Ramadan, then you don't feel like eating at that time. Habitual. Yes, because you wake up in the morning, you do suhoor. Because those actions become a habit for that person. He develops the habit. And when you develop a habit for a human being, then it doesn't remain as mujahida, working hard. You understand what I'm saying? Or you don't understand what I'm saying? So, excess worship, excess nawafil, this is ibadah, but it doesn't become mujahida. It will become mujahida in the beginning, but after that you will develop the habits of worship. Become accustomed to these. Today you don't wake up for tahajjud, alhamdulillah. When you get habitual, somebody wakes you up after 2-3 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, you practice. Then your eyes automatically will open. You'll become a person who's doing tahajjud regularly. You start praying nafal, nafal, nafal. You become habitual in nafal. And if you make a regular habit, you'll become habitual, used to it. So in the beginning it's hard, it's mujahida working hard, but your nafs makes you habitual. So mujahida ends. So real mujahida is this, that every moment you're opposing that entity. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Look, because you are students and I'm a student, so I'm telling you this point, that don't be deceived by any trick. Because we need to get the path. How will we get the path of Allah's Qurb? Through mujahida. Through struggling, striving. So we think that worship, excess worship is mujahida. Wrong. That's wrong. Mujahida, let me define to you. Mujahida, struggling, striving, working hard, making effort, is defined as what? That the nafs, your nafs, what is his real game? The nafs. What's his cunningness? The real mujahidah is that the human being, insan, he saves himself from sins. Subhanallah, do you understand? The human being who saves himself from sins, who fights his nafs, he is doing the real mujahidah. Because through sins, guna, a person can never get used to it. For example, you want to leave lying. You want to leave lying, you cannot get used to leaving lying, because nafs will drag you back to lying. I'll give you an example. You are doing the sheet system, the analysis. You know, you're doing the self-analysis system, the program, the self-improvement program to grab all of the nafs. You do sheet, salah, Quran tracking, dhikr, adhkar tracking. All these actions come in there, don't they? And the end comes what? Sins. Leaving the sins. And everything's going fine. Alhamdulillah, approximately 99%, I'll say, the men and the women, everyone's doing good. For thousands of people are doing this, following this, and may Allah Ta'ala make you all successful, mashallah. Very good action you're doing. This is from Allah. And keep this going, keep this going. Otherwise, you're going lost. So, what you see is that when you track the sins and sins, when you get to the sins, then that's where a person drops. Fails, his dhikr is going good, it will be complete. 40 days I did dhikr. You'll see that there's no cross. Salah, praying, 40 salah, tahajjud, complete. And whatever nawafil, voluntary actions, extra excessive ibadah. But when it comes to 40 days, did you leave backbiting? There you see the crosses. Did you leave lying? No. 3, 4, 5 years, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, I'm seeing that the sins of a person are not being eliminated. He is progressing. Sometimes 40 days we do that. But after that, then we come back and then the cross comes again. And what's the reason? The reason for this, the Quran says that this is the real mujahada. Allah says, وَجَاهَدُوا فِينَ وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَ لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And this is when Allah Ta'ala's name is attained, when he fights with the sins. Allah says, I've said to you, don't do sin. And you say, I'm not going to sin. Nafs tells you to sin. You say, I don't want to sin. So what's mujahada? What's the mujahada Allah Ta'ala is referring to? That you will become my friend by doing this mujahada. You will be rightful owner, deserving of Jannah. Subhanallah. The rewards of the hereafter, when will you get them? When you oppose your nafs and don't listen to his orders. When nafs says, oh, come on, just commit a sin now. Come on, listen to music a little bit. Come on. Oh, just look at that girl. It's okay. This woman. No, this is the trick of the nafs. Because ibadah kathir is a habit. But remember, you can't have the habit of totally shunning the sin. That's why the pious elders, the pious predecessors have said, with regards to the akhirah, till the last breath in your life, till your last breath in your life, what do you have to do? Is don't rely on success from before. Don't be lazy. Don't be negligent. Until your death comes, what do you have to do? You have to be alert. I don't want the nafs to make me commit a sin. Remember this till your last breath. Nafs will never leave you till your last breath. Until a person's dying. When your last moments come, you're on your deathbed. Final moments. Big pious predecessors, Sahaba Ikram, as a Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. I'll tell you about him. His final moments, final breaths, he was distressed that my final breath, will it be passing in such a way that the nafs doesn't make me do something bad? So the biggest mujahidah of a human being, the biggest working out, yes, you can pray in a while. You have to remain alert to that, am I leaving sins? Am I leaving the sins? Are my sins being eliminated? Allah's disobedience, is it coming out of my life? And this is where we need to attain. So where's the success in this? What's the criteria? Don't be afraid that there's a sin disappearing forever and all. Rather, be alert on. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. Keep trying. Keep trying. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَا. Keep trying. For those who strive hard in my cause, Allah says, keep trying. And I will be the one, Allah says, will give you determination. I'll give you the courage. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So what happens? A person tries and tries and tries. When he departs from this world, alhamdulillah, he departs with success. He departs because Allah Ta'ala has promised, I'll help you. Subhanallah. So in this you won't see, I can't leave the sins. I try to leave lying, but I can't leave lying. And you lose hope, you give up. Or I try to leave backbiting, I can't leave it. Your sheet system is a fantastic system that will remind you. Are you filling in the sheets? If you're not, then it's a big loss, big deception on your part. Nafs deception. Your sheikh has given you a task. How do you have to control your nafs? Through the sins. That's why I gave you the sheet system. to control the nafs. Not for dhikr, salah. That's something you'll get used to. Yes, so you won't leave salah once you get used to it. Seldom. Person who gets used to leaving salah, praying salah, he'll never leave salah. He'll come, he'll pray salah in the morning. He'll pray salah in the morning. 1-2 days, he'll come again because he's habitual. But sin is such a trick that mutawatir, ongoing mutawatir, you have to make the habit till death. You have to keep trying, being alert, keep trying to leave the sins. Why? Because nafs, the carnal desires, every second he'll trick you, play games with you. For example, you don't want to lie. You say, oh, I'm not going to lie again. And you'll claim you won't lie again. And then after a little while, the nafs will make you lie again. Though I didn't want to lie, I lied again. I don't know how I did it. Then I started lying again. But then you work hard again. Nafs is it plays tricks. Mawlana Rum, rahmatullahi alayhi, has said a beautiful point that there was a nasiha, a certain person in Matnawi Sharif, Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi recorded this. So the person, he was like a carpenter, he went to the jungle to cut the wood. And while he was cutting, after he cut the wood, he lifted it on his head, he was carrying it. When he got home, he saw there's a serpent, a snake in the wood. He said, this snake has come with the wood. Obviously common in the jungle, forest, he was cutting the wood. He looked at the snake attentively, he saw he's dead. There's no life in the snake. He said, oh, he's dead, the snake. Okay, in the morning, then I'll throw it away. He was tired, and then he lay down and he rested. And the snake was, at that time, was not no life in it. But when the heat came, it came inside the house. And when the heat came and then got a bit of life, they started to move slowly. The snake, life came back into the snake. Obviously started moving and in its own way, and is moving. He saw that man, he's ghafil, negligent, sleeping. And he went and he cut. He bit. That person, Mawlana Rum rahmatullahi, said, nafs is the same. The same example, like the snake. We think, oh, I've controlled the nafs now. I've won of my nafs. I won't go near to zina now. I won't speak to women now. I won't look at these things now. Oh, I've closed my this device now. I won't do this now. But what happens is nafs is not dead. It will never die. Allah says the nafs cannot die. It will trick you, play games with you. It's like that snake in the cold, and you think that he's died, but when he sees that you're ghafil, negligent, like in the night, you think, oh, wow, the snake's finished. Then he'll wake up, life will come back in, and he will remind you and make you commit the sin again. Nafs. So what's the tartib, the method then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly, mashallah, what hikmah Allah ta'ala has put, what a great hikmah Allah ta'ala has put in this solution. Allah says that the most poisonous of things for you, Allah has given us a solution. For example, corona, big disease, there's a cure. There's a cure, but time will tell. Remember this. Allah ta'ala, every malady has a solution. This is Allah's hikmah. So if normal sickness is in the world, there's a solution. So nafs, which is our real enemy, Allah Ta'ala, do we think that Allah Ta'ala has not given a solution that can cure the nafs? In fiqh, jurisprudence, we have a plant, for example, in the world, and you feel like touching it, it looks nice. Yes, very beautiful plant, but what's the situation? That the person who touches that plant, suddenly it's like a prick, like a snake bites you, and that pricks you, the plant, and the poison goes through the body, and it gives the illness to that person. Yes, but look at the kamal. That same plant at the bottom of it, Allah has put another plant, which when that poison comes into the hand by chance, naturally, then that plant at the bottom, which is in the roots, if you grab hold of that and rub that into your hand, then that poison is eliminated. This happens. In the nature, fitrah, Allah has created such a solution. So in the same way, the nafs, when it bites you, tricks you, then what's the solution to the dangers of the nafs? Immediately a person can grab his nafs. Where's the nafs taking me? Always you can do mujahada. What's the solution that can fight against the nafs? What's that? Definitely there's a solution there. Allah Ta'ala has clearly told us so that you can be saved. What is that? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Subhanallah. That is the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. The remembrance of Allah, there's a quality embedded in dhikr that apart from dhikr, there's nothing else that can control the nafs. Doesn't matter how much ibadah you do, worship, rather when you do so much ibadah, you'll become proud. The kabbar will come, riya will come, fake actions will be generated in your life, and that will give you more loss. You'll start nafil tahajjud, and you'll say, oh, I will control my nafs with tahajjud. Rather, what will your nafs do? It will make you wake up in the morning, look at in my face in the morning, is there noor on my face? I'm praying tahajjud, oh, there's no noor on my face. After I did pray tahajjud, I did dua, my dua has not been accepted. What's going on here? This happens, isn't it? Deception comes in. For example, that if you keep a lot of fast, Allah gives the tawfiq, those who become saim and qaim, and he starts to keep a lot of fast, he says, I keep so many fasts, and then his walking becomes different, becomes a bit haughty. And so that person who does a lot of ibadah, he cannot control his nafs. No ibadah has that quality. Is there any action that can control the nafs? What is that? The dhikr of Allah can control the nafs. That's why the Sufi Ikram have adopted the practice of dhikr. It's not the magic, jadu. For this reason, Allah has ordered that if you do not do mujahidah against your nafs, until that time you cannot get close to me, you cannot attain my nearness. You will not get my qurb, you will not get my love, you will not get nothing. So now we realize that mujahidah you have to do against your nafs. And to eliminate the nafs, the tariqah we've attained from the Quran, that is dhikr. For this reason, the pious elders did dhikr of Allah kathir. They grabbed hold of dhikr kathir. The Sufis, whenever you go to Wali Allah, to his company, and you attain, you request help from him, these are those people that even, for example, an enemy when he attacks, but even then a person says, ask for help, I need some help, the enemy is attacking me, that this person's opposing me, please give me help, he's very strong, this enemy, how do I save myself? You need help, isn't it? You need assistance. In the same way, insan, the friends of Allah, a human being goes to the friend of Allah, he says, I'm alone, I can't control my nafs, please help me, assist me, how do I control my desires, my nafs? This is called Ahlullah, to make a connection with the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah, the people of Allah. That's why a student goes to the friend of Allah. Waliyullah, to make his path easy, that path of my life, so that I can make my life easy and control my nafs and attain Allah's nearness. That's why people go to the company of a friend of Allah. Whenever a person attains Allah's qurb, Allah's friendship, and a person makes a waliyullah as his assistant, when he seeks a waliyullah and he gets there and he says, can you help me? I've come for this reason to you. How do I control my desires, my nafs? My nafs is not coming under control. He said, I prayed a lot of salah. I did this action and that action. And remember that I started to do kathir ibadah myself. Lot of ibadah. And good dreams came to me. And I'll give you my example so that that I can explain to you practically with examples. So I felt passion and I was free from university. Allah gave me tawfiq to do good deeds. And I did a lot of mujahidah, striving in ibadah, salah, waking up in the night, kathir ibadah, lots of worship, isolated in my room on my own. I didn't have a family. My parents weren't here, they were in Pakistan. I came here alone to study. And so, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, I went towards ibadat, kathir ibadah, excess ibadah, worship, and salah, etc. Everything, lots of things. But I was still the same. Still the same. So what I said to you, the more takabbur comes into a person, pride, and he becomes big-headed that I'm doing ibadah, I've become a wali Allah, I do ibadah lots, I do this much, I read this much Quran, I read this many separa, para and juz, etc. But success didn't come. Very few years I did mujahidah like this, worked hard like this, but still there, zero beyond zero. No success. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala knows the heart of a person that he wants to attain the path and he wants my qurb, he wants my nearness. So Allah Ta'ala has promised, whoever wants this, I will show him the path. Whoever wants the success, Allah says, I will show him the path. So Allah Ta'ala prepared for me that I met, alhamdulillah, my Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh, subhanallah. And there, all my life's mujahidah of many years, such ibadat, fasting, waking up in the night, staying up in the night, and ibadah beyond ibadah, you can do as much as you want. And where Hazrat Sahib's company, his sohbat, just 5 minutes I sat and I changed completely. Within 5 minutes, alhamdulillah, the whole, you can say, intoxication, it wore away, wore off. Hazrat Sahib gave me dhikr. Hazrat Sahib said, do dhikr, do this practice. What I considered mujahida, that all went down. All evaporated. Nothing, no success came. This is the real success that I asked help via the friend of Allah. Can you help me? I want Allah's nearness. So he said, you want to attain Allah's nearness? Then come, I'll tell you how to control your desires. Subhanallah. SubhanAllah. So what happens then? When you go to the Wali Allah, the friend of Allah, the teacher, he teaches you dhikr, you grab hold of that, and then he gets that tariqah, that he understands the tactics of nafs then. Then he understands that nafs is, even then he gets deceived. Even then he falls into the trap of shaitan, of the nafs. But it's not that same way. Then he realizes quicker. When he falls in the trap of nafs, then he, Allah has opened the path of istighfar. Then he does dhikr. Then he'll come back on the stairs, back onto the ladder, and he'll ascend that ladder, alhamdulillah. He cannot be defeated then by nafs. Yes, in a bad way, he will not be defeated. He continues to fight against nafs. He might stumble, but then he won't be defeated. He has courage and determination. This is the right path, the straight path to get to Allah, my brothers. That is the right way. Opposing the nafs, if someone's following this path, no need to be scared. If you've taken the hand of a friend of Allah, no need to be afraid. If you, alhamdulillah, according to the statements of the teacher, you follow his guidance, ups and downs will come, but never will nafs overwhelm you. Yes, he'll make you do good, he'll take you towards bad, he'll make you stumble, but he'll never defeat you. And rather what happens, you go towards the flip, and you go more towards progression, promotion. Nafs deceives you, you adopt dhikr again, you run again to Allah. Allah's give him more promotion, give him more promotion. Rather, Allah Ta'ala increases the status and rank of that student. After sin, he shakes himself down. I listen to my nafs. After sin, because he's recognized nafs, he recognized the tricks of nafs. I've lied here, I've backbited here, I shouldn't have lied here. When he lies, then he says, oh, it was jais to lie if you didn't lie here. Here was jais to be angry. If I wasn't angry, then how could I have got success? But then, because he does dhikr, he has a link with the Wali Allah, and in his heart, the light illumination generates. He realizes I shouldn't have been angry. This is nonsense. My nafs deceived me. That he's this is a liar in myself, and I lied because I thought I'd get success in the world. So he'll understand his downfall after a while, and then he'll have a bit of shame, a bit of regret and remorse. Then he'll cry in front of Allah, and then he'll be promoted. Alhamdulillah, subhanallah, subhanallah. So is this happening with you, brethren? So follow the sheet system, follow the analysis system. This is the life of a mu'min, my friends. And by having nothing before, but then you get success, and then the end comes. Subhanallah, people are gathered, and somebody is then bathing him, and the qabr is being prepared, and then he gets lowered into the grave. Just like today, mashallah, a very good person in this masjid of this town of Bolton, a very pious and salih insan, Ibrahim Bhai, Qari Ubadsab, Rahmatullah Alayh. Look how easily he passed away. Everyone testifies. I testify myself. He was a great person. MashaAllah, he had good qualities. Because there's nothing surprising to get a death like this. His lifestyle was like this, alhamdulillah. Yes, silent. Remaining silent. Once we were sat in dhikr in Darul Quran, I hosted dhikr. And he was sat right at the front next to me in dhikr. And he did a good dhikr that day, alhamdulillah. And his lifestyle was like this, that he'd recognized the nafs, the desires. And what was the result that came out? Rajab, night of Jummah, the first night of Jummah in Rajab, and we're doing dhikr here, and he's doing dhikr in the qabr. He died in the morning, and before Maghrib, his janazah was prepared, his grave was prepared, and before Maghrib, yani, he got the fazilah, the virtues of Jummah as well. And there will be no questioning for him in the grave, alhamdulillah. And he's arrived into the grave with ease. This is success. This is called success. And for us, this isn't dunya, eating and wearing clothes and doing the special ibadahs. No, there's a tariqah, a method for a mu'min to follow that life pattern. There's a lifestyle we should adopt. Without this, we cannot be successful. You understand what I'm saying? What is it that I've explained? I'll revise this again, go over it again, so we can understand the point. What is the life of a mu'min? What should we do when we really attain success? There's only one path to attain success. What is that? Mujahidah. Working hard. Mujahidah. Walladina jahadu. Allah says, strive. Work hard. Make effort. If you do mujahidah, then I'll open the path for you. My qurb, my nenis, muhabbat, love. All these secrets will be unlocked, unravel. Otherwise, they're locked, sealed. And what do we have to do to get these? Mujahidah. And who do we do mujahidah against? The nafs, the desires. Kathir ibadah is not mujahidah. It is not the definition of mujahidah. Kathir nafal is not definition of mujahidah. What is the definition of mujahidah? To reject the sins, to reject disobedience. That's mujahidah. To crush the desires is mujahidah. How do we do this? to do this. What is the tariqah, the method? The tariqah is this. Allah Ta'ala has given, says, I've given you tariqah. When nafs deceives you, destroys you, the tariqah for this is that you will be cured. You'll be cured ongoing. What is that? Dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. So this is the tariqah, the method. The first, what we need to do is that we need to analyze ourselves. What is the tariqah? What's my life? How do I spend my life? That person can't do anything himself. If he is doing nafl, worship, X, Y, Z, this action, that action, waste of life. Waste of life. Straight path is this. Find a teacher, friend of Allah, who is following Sharia himself, who follows Sharia and Sunnah, who is a pious person, good person. Go to him and say, I want to become friend with you. Like to make a connection with you. Please help me. He will then help you. Bi-idhnillah, for the sake of Allah. Allah will make the assistance, give the assistance to you. And then the dhikr he prescribes to you. Be steadfast in that. The nasiha gives to you. Follow his nasiha. Practice it. Alhamdulillah. And if you are firm on this path, nafs, shaitan will run after you. Go here. Go left. Go right. Go to him. No, not here. Don't do this. Shaitan and nafs, they will come in different forms to you, in the form of human beings, in the form of jinnat, in whatever form they come to you and try to take you off that path. Don't do this, they'll say to you. Dhikr is not necessary. Don't do this action. They'll come to you, they'll attack you because you're on that right path, the straight path. Whatever they say to you, Quran tells you this, this is the path that I'm going to follow. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what happens. Be firm on the path. See, look, I'm firm here in front of you. I've stuck with my Hazrat Sahib's hand I took, and then I didn't look left or right. Yes, I won't tell you how old I am, but until now this is my hal. That look, I've got to this age all my life, that I took friendship with one person, I didn't look for any other friend after that. One friend I took. I didn't look for a second friend. What can I tell you? Great people came to me and said, please make friendship with me. I won't tell you the names of great pious personalities. You'll be shocked when you hear the names. No, in Makkatul Mukarrama, in Madinatul Manawwara, in Itaqaf, they came to me. I said, oh, I've made the friendship already with one person. I've attached myself. You are a great personality, high status. The introduction you gave to me, you have a great rank. Because Allah tests you. How strong is he, this person, on that path? Same point. Once you take the hand of the friend until Qiyamah, because Allah has given you the hand of that teacher. I ask from Allah, I want to be correct, Allah. I want to go on the right path. Give me your friends, companies through whom I can get to your nearness. So many invitations come, many, but don't let the gap come that this is my path, Allah, Allah's Rasul, and after that, my Shaykh, my teacher, who is guiding me, who I'm traveling with. That's when a person attains success. There are so many paths, up, down, side, left, right. Many things come in the way. Not easy, this path. Because Allah says, "Am hasibtu yadkhulul jannah." You think that it's easy to go into paradise? You'll just go easily go into paradise. Allah says, you think I will not test you? You'll just walk with ease. I've prayed salah, prayed tahajjud, and nafl, and I've done this and that. Allah says, this is not the test, the challenge. Allah says, to test you, I've given you the nafs. I've created the nafs. And you will go to the top rank status. And then nafs will drag you back down to the ground. He will attack you and you'll drop. Am hasibtum, Allah says, yadkhul jannah. Is that easy, is it, to get into Jannah? Allah says, no, it's not. I've made a system in the world that you will ascend, get to high status. And then you'll do mujahid. Allah says, I've created nafs, desire, shaitan. And Allah says, I've told you the guidance, pray salah five times, fasting, this, that. We could have gone to Jannah. Allah says, no, this is not the situation. Situation is this, I want to see. I want to ascertain how do you control yourself against those enemies against you that have been created, that have created barriers to come to me. How do you accept them or oppose them? Do you understand what I'm saying? My words? So this is the path. The rest, all the words, everything minus, diminish, put them to the back. The best path, the best way is this. Through this, hundreds of thousands, millions of awliya Allah, through this same way and path they attain Allah's nearness. And these are the people who went to Jannah Paradise. Allah Ta'ala has given us this path, alhamdulillah. You have a connection with a silsila, with an order, dhikr. Allah has given you the teaching. Be firm, steadfast, and follow this path. In one hand, put kitab Allah, Allah's kitab. And in the other hand, put sunnate Rasulullah. That's it, end of story. Sit down in the car and travel. And alongside that, in parallel, do dhikrullah. And sit with calmness. Kitabullah in one hand, sunnat Rasulullah in the other hand. And in parallel with both things, combine them by doing what? Dhikrullah. That's it. Three things. And you grab hold of these three things. Inshallah, Allah willing. forget us, Allah's Nabi is guaranteed. Whoever has taken the Sunnah, whoever has held on to the Kitab Allah, Allah and His Rasul, some guarantee that that person is successful. Is this not the case? Is this not the Hadith in Mishkat? Clear. We don't do dhikr, we don't go to the Wali Allah, we don't make friend with the Wali Allah. Ramzan will come, you won't get the place in the masjid. There'll be no room. Yes, those people who pray Salah, even they won't get pushed with the elbow. Get back in Ramadan. I came first. The people who pray Salah all year long, they pray Salah, they won't get the place in the masjid. That's how there will be a rush. And as soon as the moon of Eid comes, masjid's empty again. And then there'll be seals and stamps of approval. I'm forgiven. Laylatul Qadr, I did this and that. I completed this many Quran. I did this action. 1 month is enough for us. Is it in life? Is that it? That's it. Is this waladina jahadu? The life of the mu'min is mujahada. The life of a mu'min is mujahada. Today, you go home. Everything, there are tests. There's a good environment at home. Suddenly, the environment at home is different. Stop there straight away. Understand? There's a test from Allah. Mujahada. Am hasibtum yadkhulul jannah. It's not easy to go into paradise. Stop. Control your nafs, desires, and don't have that clash with nafs. Bring Sharia sun in front of you. What should we do here? How do we control this situation so that nafs doesn't overwhelm me? Control yourself against the sin. Immediately put your hand and feet on top of the nafs. One example. Every field, where's nafs taking me? Stop. Oi, nafs, what are you doing? What are you saying? Stop for a minute. Let me here compare you with sunnah. Nafs will go quiet, and alongside that dhikrullah, nafs diminished, crushed, opposed. So, if you're just doing tasbih, I'm doing hajj and this and that ibadah, fine, do the. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَادُ فِينَا. This is not mujahida, excess worship. Mujahida is when you are the ghulam of the teacher. You know, like the horse, the wild horse is the wild horse, yeah? And it runs around here untamed. When somebody puts the rein of the horse and he grabs hold of the rein of the horse and the person takes that rein, then that same home, that horse that was wild, just give it a little bit of an usher and it will go wherever you hint it. I was sat on a horse, a cart, and he said, where do you want to go? I said, to the left. Then the owner of the horse, the rider, and he just slightly pulled the horse, and I enjoyed it. I said, no, left, I want to go right. Then he said, you should have said that to me before. Just slightly ushered the horse to the right, pulled it. No gear change, nothing. I said, what's happening? How did you do that immediately? I said, subhanallah. That even me, I was a wild horse, but with Hazrat Sahib, when I went to him, Allah Ta'ala put the rein over me. However, Hazrat Sahib hinted and pushed me towards a certain side, I went towards that side. Nafs says this and that, do this action, that action. The Wali Allah says, no, this is nonsense, rubbish. Whatever I guide you, do that action. Do that. Whether you understand or not what the Shaykh is saying, whether you have tasbih or not, we say, no, whatever Hazrat Sahib is saying, look. This is the glory of the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. A deep feeling, emotion of the Sahaba Ikram I'm sharing with you. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he would say something to the noble companions, that what does this mean? What was the answer they gave? This noble companions, Allah and His Rasul know best. We don't know. We don't know. We cannot comprehend. Yes, they didn't. Has the sun come out? Has this come out? We don't know, Ya Rasulullah. Allah and His Rasul know best. Think, even though it was visible there. This is a lesson given to us that a person, if he doesn't go into the servanthood, or you could say the studentship of the teacher, he cannot be controlled. You have to become the student under the control of the teacher. If you're doing mujahida on your own, working hard on your own, you're the lone sheep. You have to follow the guidance of the teacher. If he instructs you that in the morning you have to arrive here, and according to his instruction you arrive, and you eliminate your desire, and he's making you practice what? The obedience. What is obedience? Opposing the nafs. That, as I said to you, arrive here in the morning, and according to my instruction, you arrive here. I said this, I'm your sheikh, your teacher, you obeyed and you became solid, that whatever my sheikh says, I'll do. Then what a great point, that when Allah tells you to do something, will you follow your nafs? Subhanallah. What a great practice that happens when a student becomes steadfast on the teacher's hukam. Then when Allah's hukam will come in the Quran, will you listen to it or will you leave it? Doesn't matter how hard the nafs will work, you say, no, this is Allah's hukam, I cannot leave this. Allah's order. So this is through the Shaykh's teachings a person gets near to Allah's instruction. That's what you learn through the company of the Shaykh, from the Wali Allah. Yes, but if you go to the Wali Allah, become Bayah, you want to then follow your desires after that. Your methods, your techniques, I'll come when I want, I'll do dhikr when I want. What the Shaykh instructs, what your Shaykh says, you don't listen. All your life long, you can do what you want. Ibadah, you'll deceive yourself, you'll be trying, you're deceiving Allah, you're deceiving the mu'mineen. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ You are deceiving Allah, you're not deceiving Allah, you're not deceiving the mu'mineen. أَنفُسِمْ You are deceiving yourself. وَمَا يُشْعُرُونَ Allah says they are deceiving themselves and nobody else. These are the murids like this, who don't follow the guidance. Those murideen who don't follow the Shaykh's guidance, who are they deceiving? Yes, Allah says يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Allah says you think you're deceiving Allah or you're deceiving the other people, the mu'mineen. You are deceiving your own self. You're deceiving your own self. Allah says, وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ You don't know who you are deceiving. If you are bayah, you have pledged yourself to a teacher. Maqsad e zindagi, have you got the objective of life? Why have you attached yourself to a teacher? Dhikr is not our objective. When we go to the Wali Allah, what do we say? Friend of Allah, we've come to you to learn the path. We want to learn from you. You instruct us, guide us, we'll follow that path. If he says do this, if he says leave this, do that, totally fine. If you understand or not, continue to do that. The result will come out positive at the end of the day. Immediately we start shaking. No, he says do this and that. If your Shaykh says, in every way or form you have to follow that instruction. Whether the world goes here or there, doesn't matter. You have to obey and implement. My Shaykh ordered me that you go back, and Hazrat Sahib sent me here, go back to where you came from, and there teach the people the dhikr of Allah. Yes, don't speak futile talk, no wasteful talk, don't talk about disputes and make disputes amongst people. Don't create splits. My Shaykh gave me this order. And he said, earn with your own hands and earn halal. And these are the nasiha my Shaykh gave to me. I came back, I was bayah. And now here, everything around me, work was haram. If I don't work with my hands, if I take social security claiming, I could do everything. So what sort of Shaykh is this? So would you sit then in front of me? This is the barakah of I've obeyed Hazrat Sahib. That's why you sat here. Otherwise, how could we have this result today? I'd be a thief then. I'd be a thief. Fake. So what happened is that, what did I earn with my hands here? Tell me. I had nothing. So I had to earn halal. So I didn't work. Why? Because when, if I work, for example, there are wrong things that could happen at work, fraud this and lie this or cheat this. So that was my job at that time. And I had a degrees in those things. So I stopped that. Because I said, this is the hukum of the Shaykh. So poverty came, hardship came, social security. I didn't want to go towards that side. There was hunger and there was thirst. There was hardship. Bad situation. Hard situation, tell me. And I lived my life very ease and comfort, high grade life I had. That's when a person gets success, when he obeys his Shaykh, his teacher. Yes, if I didn't listen to my Shaykh, I could have went haram, tricked this person, cheated that person, claimed false claims, social security, done wrong jobs, etc. What do I do? So I worked then. Where did I work? I used to go. But I couldn't follow my profession, the degree. There were high grade jobs I could do following my permission. I had a high post before that if I did it. There were high grade posts. But the work itself wasn't good. It was wrong, against Sharia. And my Shaykh said, don't work anywhere where you have to do actions against Sharia. So then Shaitan and Nafs are saying, Ajib, the generation before was good. You were praying before. You were doing things in the dunya before. Food and drinking now is scarce and it's hard for you. What's this trick of life you've gone into? It was easier before. What's this path you're following? I said, no. This path that Allah Ta'ala has shown to me, the words of my Shaykh are perfect. They are correct. I cannot leave this. Doesn't matter what happens in my life. I made that pact. Few years I did hard labor. I did hard labor with my hands. I couldn't imagine today what I did at that time, working with my hands, the hard jobs I did. And then one day, such ease does come, because after, innamal usri yusra, innamal usri yusra, for innamal usri yusra, this is after hardship, definitely there's ease. Have courage, determination. Take that path of right path, then open your eyes at the time after the hardship, And when your janazah prayer is being prayed, then inshallah there'll be success. Even until that time you have to wait. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَى وَقَدْ خَامَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا. So don't take any other guidance. Take guidance from who? Say loudly. From who? From your sheikh, from your teacher. Have trust in your sheikh, itibar in your sheikh, itibar, obedience in your sheikh. I'm not saying that I am your teacher, worship me, do sujood, follow me, blind me. People say, oh, he makes people prostrate, people put their hands together in front of him, and they're like a cult and a sect, and he makes people do, and people worship him, and people run after him, and follow him blindly, astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi, people pick up his shoes. I don't know why these stories spread in the society, you hear these things. I'm telling you, that path I went, the Quran prescribes this path. And I'm explaining that, defining that to you, in front of you. Subhanallah. There's no shirk in this, there's no bid'ah in this, this is not innovation, this is not shirk. What's your link with your sheikh, with your teacher? Our sheikh is the deputy of Rasulullah. That's your understanding. From Allah, he has sent a guide, he is the guidance, and he teaches us sharia, he teaches us sunnah, he teaches us the right actions. This is the meaning. Yes, he does. We have no link or connection that I prostrate my sheikh, I kiss this and that, I bow to him. No, we had no link with our sheikh like this. My Hazrat, it's a spiritual connection. Adab, manners, wujud. Your wujud, it is submitted to the teacher. Of course it has, your wujud. You have given up yourself to the teacher. You say to the teacher, you are going to take all of his teachings. If he introduces you to Allah, then is he going to make you do shirk? Is he going to make you worship him? Pick up the shoes, this is wasteful talk. But listen to what he guides you towards the sunnah, towards Allah's deen. He will take you to the right path. All life long, one path you follow, continue to follow that path. Whatever the sheikh advises and guides, but no. You have to follow his instruction guidance, then you'll be successful. You go left and right, come off the track, do what you want, do this action to your desires and oppose what he says. This is why you get the tracking system. What a great program. Self-improvement program. If you do amal with istiqamat on this path, do the doors open or not? Tell me. So continue to follow the path. So if the sheikh says to you, complete the sheet system, the majlis you have to sit in, the dhikr you've been prescribed, the sins you've been told to leave those sins. Continue, mujahada, work hard. Are you getting success or not? Don't leave the effort. Don't leave the effort. That's the success. But nobody has a sheikh, he doesn't have a teacher, no one to guide him, nobody to explain to him. You read this hadith, I've written to that person's hadith, that person gave a speech, he gave a lecture. This is not, that insan can never be steadfast on the path. 8 years I practiced. I heard from left, from the right, this gathering, that gathering, nothing do you attain. Nothing, you just go downhill. He's saying this opinion, his opinion is that, this person says this, this is better, this is less better, that opinion is better. Take one path, one teacher, one guidance with istiqamat. Subhanallah. You understand what I'm saying? Otherwise, that insan will come off track and he'll go away from ihdinas siratul mustaqim. This is the definition of ihdinas siratul mustaqim, what we've discussed today. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, all of us, to follow this path, example, and do those actions. What the Quran has prescribed as the وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا strive, Allah says, but as for those who strive hard in our cause against the nafs. There's no striving against nothing else except the nafs. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, didn't he, that I am taking you after the clash they came back from the fight. He said, I'm taking you from the small clash to the bigger clash. Which is the, and the Sahaba asked, what is that? And the big clash is what? Against the nafs, the desires. Because the nafs works hard to make you sin, makes you hard, works hard to make you disobey. And the human being says, I'm not going to listen to the nafs. I'm not going to do this action. And this is the solution. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give to all of us the tawfiq to do his dhikr. Dhikr, steadfastness. Kathir dhikr. Abundance of dhikr. The more you do dhikr kathir, the more you do abundance of dhikr, all jinn and ghosts and jinnat and all this, the tricks and the games will continue. No power should stop you from dhikr. Doesn't matter how you feel. I feel like jinn's putting me off, or the ghosts have come, or I feel distressed, I feel down, I don't feel like it, my heart's broken. Doesn't matter what you feel. The amount your sheikhs prescribed to you, complete it. That's it. Yes, your muamalat you're not doing, go and tell your teacher. I'm not doing the right amount. Hazrat, make it easy for me. Tell me a solution. I'm not succeeding. There's an objective Allah Ta'ala has created us for in this world. Don't waste this life. Mawt, death, Death can come at any time, and death will never come that, for example, I'll die today or tomorrow. You can't plan it. Maut will come at the right time, appointed time. Allah's written, sealed. You're going to die due to corona. You're going to die due to this. You're going to die due to that. You cannot control the time and the way that death will come. These are wasteful actions. Wasteful. Think about the real objective. The how do I arrive to Allah's presence? That's it. Allah has created me for this reason. Allah gives me food for this reason. Allah has given my body for this reason. All for one maqsad objective. That how do I attain the nearness of my Rabb? How do I attain the qurb of my Rabb? That's my objective of life. From morning till night, one objective. Eating, drinking, standing, sleeping, this is not our objective. This will carry on in parallel. What is our objective all the time, every second? All day long I've got to do these actions to please my Creator. End of story. Wake up in the morning, make intention. I have to please my Lord today, tonight. You're hungry, you eat, you're thirsty, you drink tea. This carries on in parallel. But put your heart on the action of pleasing Allah. I don't want to displease my Rabb in no way or form today. That's the maqsad-e zindagi, objective of life is to please my Rabb. That death will not, nobody can force you to die, nobody can beat you or do away with you. It's written in your destiny how you will die and how you'll pass away. We have to do one action. As long as we're alive, every second you've got energy in your body, you can move your body, do one action, is to please our Rabb. Please our Rabb. Actions to please our Rabb. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq. Ameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين داعي الزين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وآل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد فسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطبنا وامدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبدنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا بزمرته يا كريم اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اجتهاجاتنا يا دافع البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافع الأمراض اشفع مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Amen.